From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kilohertz and voanews.id. Listener, here's the news read by Steve. President Joko Widodo emphasizes meticulous preparation for the Fitri homecoming. House Speaker Puan Maharani seeks special handling of illegal investments. And here's the news. President Joko Widodo, during the plenary cabinet session at the State Palace in Jakarta, broadcasted on Wednesday, called for careful handling preparation for the 2020 Idul Fitri homecoming after the government allowed people to travel to their places of origin with COVID-19 vaccination as one of the requirements. As reported by Antara, to this end, he urged the ranks of National Police, Indonesian Armed Forces, Transportation Ministry and the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment to coordinate in preparing for the Idul Fitri homecoming. Speaker of the House of Representatives, Puan Maharani, has called for special handling efforts from policymakers for tackling illegal investments in Indonesia that are becoming increasingly massive. In the latest reports from the Financial Transaction Reports and Analysis Center, the value of illegal investment transactions had been pegged at 35 trillion rupiah. In a statement issued in Jakarta on Wednesday, she said that if there is no serious intervention, illegal investment will continue to increase in Indonesia. Moreover, the increase in reports of illegal investment moves in a relatively short time. There must be a special effort to deal with illegal investment practices. Radio Republik Indonesia or RRI and the National Anti-Narcotics Agency BNN signed a Memorandum of Understanding in fighting against drugs abuse. After signing the MOU at Ronodipuro Auditorium of RRI in Jakarta on Wednesday, the President Director of RRI, Hendrasmo, explained that RRI is ready to cooperate with BNN in fighting against drug abuse as the enemy of Indonesia. He further said that RRI would involve all available resources in the fight against drug abuse.
Kita melibatkan 67 satker di seluruh Indonesia.
RRI involves 67 task forces across Indonesia, as well as 120 relay stations to mobilize public opinion, disseminate, educate, and fight against drug abuse, and urge efforts to eradicate drug abuse in order to save Indonesia. Therefore, RRI, along with BNN, will cooperate to fight against the enemy of Indonesia.
Karena itu, ya kita akan bersama BNN, pemembau, untuk ambil bagian melakukan perlawanan terhadap musuh negara ini.
On the same occasion, the head of National Anti-Narcotics Agency, Petrus Reinhard Golose, stated that the cooperation between RRI and BNN is very important in eradicating drug abuse from cities to villages.
Dengan semboyan RRI yaitu sekali di udara tetap di udara,
With the motto of RRI once EDR remain EDR and the commitment of RRI to help BNN in disseminating information, BNN also holds socialization and education of the danger of drug abuse. It is important because one of the programs carried out by BNN is the program Desa Bersinar, which means clean village free from narcotics. In this case, only RRI can reach and disseminate information across Indonesia, and we all know that narcotics have reached villages in the country. So, I also said earlier to the President Director of RRI that it will be very helpful for BNN to jointly voice and put pressure on the dissemination of the abuses of the drug across Indonesia.
Untuk bersama-sama kita menyuarakan dan kita bisa menekan.
Moreover, Petrus Reinhard Golose further stated that BNN and all stakeholders in 2021 succeeded in suppressing the spread of drug abuse in rural areas. The success of suppressing the dissemination of drug abuse can be seen in only 5% of the number of convicts who entered the prisons in rural areas. Moving on to the next news, the Director General of Civil Aviation of the Transportation Ministry had informed that currently international travelers can enter Indonesia through 10 international airports. It is regulated in the circular letter of the Transportation Minister No. 42/2022 concerning instructions for implementing overseas travel by air transportation during the COVID-19 pandemic, which is effective from April 6, 2022. This was affirmed by the Director General of Civil Aviation at the Ministry, Novi Arianto, on Wednesday. A Red Cross convoy arrived in the southern Ukrainian city of Zaporizhzhia on Wednesday after failing to reach the besieged port city of Mariupol, as reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com. Accompanied by the International Committee of the Red Cross, 7 buses and at least 40 private cars arrived in the city carrying hundreds of evacuees from Russian-occupied areas in what was the first successful international evacuation 6 weeks into the war. The ICRC said most of the people arriving were in fact from Mariupol, which is still held by Ukrainian forces but had been evacuated from the nearby Russian-held city of Berdyansk. ICRC spokesperson Lucille Mabu explained that these people have really gone through the worst. Singapore reported 4,467 new COVID-19 cases as of noon on Wednesday, comprising 4,371 local infections and 96 imported ones. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, there were 3 fatalities, taking the death toll from coronavirus complications to around 1,200. There are 452 patients in the hospital, according to the latest infection statistics on the Ministry of Health website. 43 patients require oxygen supplementation. 15 patients are in the intensive care unit, compared to the 16 on Tuesday. Most of Singapore's new COVID infections are Protocol 2 cases, which are those who are well or assessed to have a mild condition. India has unequivocally condemned killings in Ukraine's Bucha and supported calls for an independent investigation into the deeply disturbing reports. As reported by BBC.com, images of mass graves and bodies of civilians reportedly executed in the Kyiv suburb had shocked the world. India's condemnation at the UN meeting is the strongest statement it has made since Russia invaded Ukraine. Delhi has so far abstained from the UN votes condemning Russia's actions. In a statement on Tuesday at the UN Security Council meeting, India's permanent representative to the United Nations, T.S. Tirumurti, said the country remained deeply concerned at worsening situation and reiterates its call for an immediate cessation of violence and the end to hostilities. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Today's Diplomatic Corner highlights Batik Week activity in Ho Chi Minh City. Listeners, the Batik Week activity was held by the Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia at the OEI exhibition in Ho Chi Minh City Sunday. The activity was welcomed by high-ranking Vietnamese officials of Ho Chi Minh City. They consisted of the Consul General of foreign countries as well as invited guests and dozens of Vietnamese students. Batik Week was opened by the Indonesian Consul General Agustaviano Sofian. In his remarks, Agustaviano said that cultural cooperation between the two nations remains strong even amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Through learning to make batik, Vietnamese people can increase their introduction to batik traditions in Indonesia. Blend between batik and OEI and traditional clothes from Vietnam can be a symbol of friendship between both countries. Batik Week presents a blend of two cultures, namely batik from Indonesia and OEI, namely traditional clothes from Vietnam. At the event, the catwalk fashion show, OEI and batik were also displayed. The fashion show took the theme A Crossroad Between Two Heritages. The audiences were very impressed with the collection of batik and OEI clothes that were shown. One of the clothes that became the center of attention of the guests was a dress that was a combination of batik and OEI, which was specially made by the Indonesian Consulate General and Batik House Indonesia for Batik Week activities. The clothes are made with the OEI model, but the motif is batik and the material comes from Indonesia. In the workshop, dozens of Vietnamese youth seemed very enthusiastic about making batik in a short practical activity by using chanting. So, the participant who attended could experience the process of making painted batik with their own hands. That's Diplomatic Corner.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zheng que pei tai kou zhao, yi fang chi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni. 你的口罩, 保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19. En portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, today in history starts with the event on April 7, 1948, the establishment of World Health Organization. The World Health Organization, or WHO, is an agency of the United Nations responsible for international public health issues. WHO is headquartered in Geneva, Switzerland. On April 7, 1948, WHO held its first World Health Conference and also declared the organization's founding. The date was set as World Health Day from 1950. Let's move to April 7, 1969. The publication of RFC1 marks the symbolic birth of the Internet. Request for comments RFC was made on April 7, 1969, and it was marked by the publication of RFC1 regarding host software as the forerunner of the Internet. This was the result of a meeting of a group of graduates and staff from the University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA, Stanford, the Research Institute, SRI, the University of California, Santa Barbara, UCSB, and the University of Utah, UOFU, in August 1968. They discussed finding technology for a network that could connect research computers at the four universities. The Internet itself was born on September 12, 1969, when a team from UCLA successfully connected to the ARPANET network, a network belonging to the United States Department of Defense, which eventually turned into the modern Internet network. We end today in history with the event on April 7, 1990, marine accident on the Scandinavian Star ferry. A fire broke out on the Scandinavian Star ferry en route from Oslo to Frederik Sound, Denmark in the North Sea. Consequently, 159 passengers and crew were killed. Initially, the ship was suspected of being sabotage. However, in June 2017, after new inspections of the disaster, no evidence of sabotage or even intentional arson was found. So, until now, the cause of this ship burning is still a mystery. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Selalu ada untukmu, selalu memberikanmu cintaku. Tak bisakah kau merasakan itu, hingga kau pun mencintaku. Cintaku yang selalu ada untukmu, tak usah kau pernah ragukan itu. Aku tak bisa bila kau pergi jauh meninggalkanku. Aku di sini untuk kamu. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk meninggalkanku sendiri tanpa kamu. sini untuk kamu. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk pergi dariku, walau hanya sesaat ku tak bisa hidup tanpa dirimu. Aku yang selalu ada untukmu, selalu memberikanmu cintaku. Tak bisakah kau merasakan itu hingga kau pun mencintaku. Cintaku yang selalu ada untukmu, tak usah kau pernah ragukan itu. Hingga ku tak bisa bila kau pergi jauh meninggalkanku. Aku di sini untuk kamu. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk meninggalkanku sendiri tanpa kamu. Aku di sini untuk kamu. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk pergi dariku, walau hanya sesaat ku tak bisa hidup. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk pergi dariku, hanya sesaat ku tak bisa hidup tanpa. Bisa hidup tanpa dirimu.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Environment and Forestry Ministry has formed a special team to realize the Forest and Land Use, or FOLU, Net Sink 2030 target. That was stated by Minister of the Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya during Indonesia's FOLU Net Sink 2030 Operational Plan Consolidation Workshop in Jakarta on Monday. Indonesia's FOLU Net Sink 2030 is a national 60% of greenhouse gas emission reduction scenario through reduction in the forestry and other land uses. Minister Siti Nurbaya said that the special team will maintain and facilitate all environment and forestry ministry units and partners. The team consists of the management of sustainable forests, conservation, and peatland ecosystems. The special team will deepen all things related to achieving the FOLU Net Sink 2030, namely about the land and forest fire, new license moratorium on primary forest and peatland, weather modification technology, affirmation of protected area and high conservation value for business concessions area, efforts to mitigate habitat fragmentation, and legal enforcement against forest opening and logging. Minister Siti asked her ministry not to establish cooperation with anyone without considering the FOLU Net Sink framework system. This aims to make all activities which can affect the forest and land carbon condition and other carbon in Indonesia stay in the national regulation corridor. Basically, it helps to avoid mistakes and other activities that violate the regulation. Minister Siti Nurbaya instructed the ministry to make a work-step reformulation by adding reports on greenhouse gas emission caused by the activities. Besides that, she also asked for discipline and order of all Directorate Generals in collaborating with regional government, non-government organization, private sector, and other parties in achieving the FOLU Net Sink 2030 target. Another important thing is that all teams must work in an integrated manner so that the process towards the FOLU Net Sink 2030 target would be accurately measurable in calculating the carbon emission reductions.
Maaf telah sayang padamu, kau selalu buatku tak menentu. Perhatianmu yang buatku, oh, ingin ku memilikimu meski kau telah dimilikinya.
Are still with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kilohertz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
In today's Indonesian Wonder, I'm going to take you on a religious tour to the Sultan Ahmad Shah Grand Mosque. This mosque is a historic one inherited from the Asahan Kingdom, which still stands today in Tanjung Balai City, North Sumatra. It was founded in 1884 and completed in 1886. This mosque is more than 100 years old and still stands strong today. Initially, this mosque was the gathering place for the dignitaries of the Malay Kingdom of Asahan and as a bulwark of the people's defense from the Dutch people who wanted to attack and control the Asahan land. But today, the Sultan's Ahmad Shah Grand Mosque functions as a community development center and a place of worship. The distinctiveness of the Sultan Ahmad Shah Grand Mosque lies in its buildings, which has a Malay architecture. This can be seen from the building, which is rectangular like most Malay buildings. In addition, on the edge of the roof, there is a characteristic of the Malay building, namely the carving of bamboo shafts. Uniquely, this mosque does not have pillars on the inside of the mosque. The basic materials of this mosque are sand, clay, and little cement. Meanwhile, outside, there are many pillars. Another uniqueness is that the dome of the mosque is not located in the middle of the building, but it is located in front of the mosque. So, when viewed from the front, this mosque looks ordinary but hides its uniqueness. Entering the Sultan Ahmad Shah Grand Mosque, you may see something contrasting, namely the pulpit of the mosque, because it is decorated with Chinese ornament. This pulpit was brought directly by a sultan from China. In addition, there is also a spiral staircase to go up to the tower of the mosque, which is located directly behind the pulpit. Walking to the back of the mosque, you may see the graves of the family of the Imam and Nazir of mosque, or mosque supervisors or the guardians. Then, in the pavilion of the mosque, there are also three cannons from the Asahan Sultanate.
Jauh masa depan, kelak suatu hari ku akan menjadi cahaya bagi Indonesia. Ayolah kawan, bersama kita akan harumi Indonesia.
Thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Miscellany for today has a topic, Jogokarian Ramadan Village in Yogyakarta City. Listeners, last April 2nd, Yogyakarta City government officially opened the afternoon market at Kampung Ramadan Jogokarian. Tourists and residents who visit the market on Jalan Jogokarian in Yogyakarta City can shop for various takjil or food or drink for breaking the fast, such as banana compote, fruit soap, ice mix, and many more, which are sold by around 270 micro, small, and medium enterprises MSMEs. Assisted by the Jogokarian Mosque, Yogyakarta Deputy Mayor Heru Purwadi, when opening Kampung Ramadan Jogokarian, stated that the Jogokarian Mosque has been known to be consistent as a mosque management model that is able to generate the economy of the local resident and the network that the mosque has built. Mayor Heru, who is also the daily chair of the Yogyakarta City COVID-19 Handling Task Force, said that the Ramadan afternoon market in Jogokarian Village may trigger the enthusiasm of MSMEs to revive their economy after 2 year COVID-19 pandemic. Mayor Heru Purwadi further stated that Yogyakarta, which is still in the status of Level 3 Community Activity Restrictions or PPKM, must pay serious attention to the health protocols on all sides, including Ramadan market activities. Take, for example, regarding transactions, he encouraged as many as possible or cashless transactions. In the Ramadan market in Jogokarian, the Yogyakarta City government also involved the Yogyakarta local government banks to facilitate non-cash payments for MSMEs assisted by the Jogokarian Mosque, so that people who shop for takjil in this market can make purchase only with their mobile phones, because all MSME stands are equipped with a QRIS system or Quick Response Code Indonesian Standard, which can be accessed by using various e-wallets. The use of QRIS in Kampung Ramadan Jogokarian will facilitate transaction for both buyers and sellers, because it is fast, safe, and easy, and the sellers do not have to bother providing chance. In addition to holding the Jogokarian Ramadan Village, the Jogokarian Mosque also provide a free iftar menu. Chairman of the Takmir of the Jogokarian Mosque, Agus Abadi, said that as the COVID-19 case in Yogyakarta City shallowed in this Ramadan, the mosque will again provide a menu for breaking the fast using plates. 2 years ago, iftar menus were served with boxed rice and had to be distributed to several points such as crossroads, offices, police stations, and public services due to the high number of COVID-19 cases. That's Miss Seleni.
Selalu lebih indah bisa kau lihat, tak berarti nyata. Berjanjilah kau kan mengerti, pahamilah arti hidup ini. Bahagia tak perlu kau cari, sudah ada. Tak ada alasan untuk kau berseri. Berhenti cintai yang tak pantas dicintai. Selalu hargai yang setia di hati. Berjanjilah
penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku o chaku yo shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai o fusegi mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata o mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Welcome to getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, now let's listen to the song Rasa Cinta by Cindy Claudia Harahap. This song was released in 1998, written by famous Indonesian composer Rinto Harahap. Rasa Cinta tells about someone who loves so deeply, even tough, they may not be together. Well, listener, here is Cindy Claudia Harahap with the song Rasa Cinta. Happy listening!
Mengapa kita harus
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. It's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.